Let's take our scriptures and turn to Jeremiah, the very last chapter of Jeremiah, and chapter 52. It, of course, has been a long time going through this book. We're at the last chapter. We'll see how the Lord, through Jeremiah, ends the prophecy. Jeremiah 52. And we'll begin in verse 1. Of this God's Word. And so give your attention to it, for it is His Word, and the Word that we must receive. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, like all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, this came about in Jerusalem and Judah, until he cast them out from his presence, and Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it came about in the 9th year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, camped against it, and built a siege wall all around it. So the city was under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no food for the people in the land. And the city was broken into, and all the men of war fled and went forth from the city at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Though the Chaldeans were all around the city, and they went by way of the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he passed sentence there on him. The king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he also slaughtered all the princes of Judah in Riblah. And he blinded the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him with bronze fetters, and brought him to Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death. Now on the 10th day of the 5th month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the king, the captain of the bodyguard, who was in the service of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, even every large house he burned with fire. So all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls around Jerusalem. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away into exile some of the poorest of the people. The rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had deserted to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the artisans. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and plowmen. Now the bronze pillars, which belonged to the house of the Lord, and the stands and the bronze sea, which were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the snuffers, the basins, the pans, and all the bronze vessels which were used in the temple service. The captain of the guard also took away the bowls, the fire pans, the basins, the pots, the lampstands, the pans, and a drink offering bowls, what was fine gold and what was fine silver. The two pillars, the one sea, and the 12 bronze bowls that were under the sea, and the stands which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. The bronze of all these vessels was beyond weight. As for the pillars, the height of each pillar was 18 cubits, and it was 12 cubits in circumference, and 4 fingers in thickness and hollow. Now a capital of bronze was on it, and the height of each capital was 5 cubits, which with network and pomegranates upon the capital all around, all of bronze. And the second pillar was like these, including pomegranates. There were 96 exposed pomegranates, all the pomegranates numbered 100 on the network all around. Then the captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, with the 3 officers of the temple. He also took from the city 1 official who was overseer of the men of war, and 7 of the king's advisers who were found in the city, And the scribe of the commander of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was led away into exile from its land. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away into exile in the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, 832 persons from Jerusalem. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried into exile 745 Jewish people. There were 4,600 persons in all. Now it came about in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, showed favor to Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the thrones of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed his prison clothes and had his meals in the king's presence regularly all the days of his life. For his allowance, a regular allowance, was given him by the king of Babylon, a daily portion all the days of his life until the day of his death. And that is the word of God. The nations being promised judgments, that's what we heard in the last few chapters, all those nations being judged. The last passage of Jeremiah's prophecy brings us back to the actual fall and destruction of Jerusalem that much of the book was prophesying about, and God, the Lord, promising would come upon them because of their unrepentance. We are reminded of the evil king Zedekiah and his rebelling against the king of Babylon. Remember that God had provided a way to show mercy to him, and yet he didn't take it. And so, as the Lord promised, so happens to Zedekiah. And then through verse 7, we see the besieging and taking of Jerusalem, including the promised famine. Remember the sword, famine, and pestilence? That's part of that. That was promised many times in this book. And Zedekiah attempts to flee, but is caught and imprisoned for the rest of his life. And then through verse 14, we have the summary of the temple's destruction along with the city of Jerusalem, and then the captivity of the people. Verses 24 to 27, the priests, as promised by the Lord, were slaughtered. And the last verses of the chapter describe the many years after the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile. After Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Jehoiachin, in exile, received some favor, was brought out of prison. Beloved, this chapter is a brief historical record of the destruction of Jerusalem. It reminds us of who God is, that He is always faithful to His promises. He promised over and over, if they, Jerusalem, Judah, would not listen, if they would not repent of their sins and turn back from their idols to Him, the Lord, but rather if they kept going after their idols, then what happens in this chapter would come about: the sword, famine, and pestilence. Our God is a faithful God, and that's faithfulness in blessing His people, and faithfulness in cursing those who turn from Him. Let us not be like Jerusalem and Judah, but listen. Let us be the people who listen to His voice, whether that's in the reading and preaching of the Scriptures, or the prayers that are from the Word, or the singing of the Word. We must listen to His voice and heed His voice and turn unto Him from our sins as we turn unto Him in and through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful and we praise You that great is Your faithfulness. You have made many promises to us, Your people. And Father, we hold on to those promises, some that have already come about, some that will come about through life over and over again, and some that will come when we reach glory and eternal life. And we put our hope in Your faithfulness. If you are a God who is not faithful, then you are not God, and you are not true, and you speak false things. Father, you are faithful. You're faithful in the promises you've made through your Son and by your Holy Spirit, through your Word. There's never been a time that any of us here or anyone throughout the world or anyone throughout history could say, this is an instance in which he was unfaithful. There's nothing that could be said like that. But you've always been faithful to your promises. You've always been faithful to who you are, to your character, your attributes. And you've always been faithful to us, your people. Always working things for our good and always working things for your glory. And so, Father, we bow before you, our heads, and we ask that you would make us faithful like you are faithful. Faithful to your word, to heed your word, to love your word, to love you above all things and all creatures and creations. Because you are the creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And for that mere fact alone, we owe you all our lives. Father, make us a repenting people. We sin every day, every moment. Or make us a people who love to repent and to do so quickly. But also forgive sins quickly, especially of those around us, those are of our loved ones. And Father, may we remember that you are the God of vengeance, not we ourselves. Father, we do, as we think of what we've read in this chapter, we pray for governments and leaders of governments, that you would save them, save those in authority, and their various offices and places. Or we desire that they would love you above all things and rule according to righteous law above all other things. And so, Father, we ask that you would continue to preserve our worship and grow us. We ask that you would provide a better, perhaps, place for us to worship you that is more suitable for our worship and for the worship that we give unto you as you perfect that worship in your Son Jesus Christ. And Father, grant us your wisdom and understanding and knowledge of your word as we continue worshiping you now and we hear you speak to us. Lord, bless your people. Though we are undeserving, we ask that you would shower us with your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.